It's time for Big Blue Kickoff Live. Only on Giants.com.
Manning back, steps up, heaves one down the middle of the field into the end zone, and Nix makes the catch for the touchdown. He went up with the big hands and caught it on the Hail Mary.
Boots one, returnable for Williams from his own 20. Lost the ball, and the Giants say they have it. They do. Devin Thomas recovered it, but the rookie Jaquan Williams punched it out.
Manning out of the shotgun set. He's back to throw. Finds the pocket. Deep ball down the left sideline, and it's going to be caught. Was he inbounds? Yes. Manningham on the sideline. Brady's under pressure. Brady's chased. Brady heaves one down the middle of the field into the end zone. A jump ball, and it's incomplete, and the ball game's over, and the Giants have won Super Bowl 46.
Now here are your hosts, John Schmelk and Lance Meadow.
Welcome to Big Blue Kickoff Live right here on Giants.com, 201-939-4513, 201-939-4513, also on Twitter at hashtag Giants Chat. It's all presented by Andrew Mark right here on Giants.com. Good morning, everybody. We hope Monday morning finds everybody with a lot more power than you had last we spoke on Friday. Hopefully you got some gas in your cars from what we've seen driving into work today. Gas lines becoming much more reasonable. We hope your families are safe. We hope you have heat with the Snoreaster coming this week. And we wish everyone the best out there in New York Giant Land. Hope everybody's doing well coming off of Hurricane Sandy. But I'm sure Giant fans want us to get to the point, so that's what we're going to do here. And the Giants, Lance, would probably their worst played game of the season, I guess you could call it. It's close. They fall to the Steelers in this game by a score, and the offense just couldn't do anything. And that's really the bottom line in this game. The offense with very little production. The Giants only scored 20 points, lose 24-20, and 182 yards of total offense. You can't win with that.
And the reason why the offense really put the Giants in such a big hole, you look at the time of possession disparity. 35-15 for the Steelers, 24-45 for the Giants. The Steelers came in averaging just around 35 minutes per game in terms of time of possession.
Second best in the league.
So they knew that that was going to be their game plan, to put together strong, long, sustainable drives. The Steelers accomplished that. And because the Giants' offense had one three and out after another in the second half, you're putting your defense out there, and the Steelers' offense is just wearing them down. That's why they could not make any stops come the fourth quarter.
No question about it, folks. All right, we see the lines already lining up. I know you're probably a little upset. You want to vent a little bit. We're here for you. But I want to say one more thing before we get going here. And, of course, we're at 201-939-4513. Give us a call. We'll get you right up. A lot of calls coming in. We'll try to get through them as quickly as possible. So a couple comments. Let's get you in and out here.
I'm glad the phones are working, by the way, today.
Oh, yes. And I don't want to sound too negative, but as a Giant fan, to me, you almost saw a game like this coming. And let me explain. For the last 3.5 games, I know Eli had 300 yards against the Browns, but I don't think anybody would – 300 yards against the Redskins, but I don't think anybody would make the argument that he played particularly well in that game against Washington. He did not play well last week against Dallas. He did not play well in the second half against San Francisco. The only reason the Giants won last week against the Cowboys is because of all the Cowboy giveaways in the first quarter of that game. The Felix Jones fumble was completely unforced. The Dez Bryant punt return fumble, he's holding the ball out here a foot away from his body. Nothing to do with what the Giants did on those plays. Self-inflicted wounds by the Cowboys. The Giants still almost lost to Dallas despite 6 Cowboys turnovers. They almost lost to Washington. They made the Redskins punt, I believe, once in that entire game, if I remember properly. Alfred Morris ran all over him. Robert Griffin III all over the field. The Giants have not played well the last 3 weeks, but they've won because of huge turnover differentials. Whether it was the 49er game, the Cowboy game, the Redskin game. They won because they got turnovers. And it covered up a lot of these other deficiencies, whether it's the defense not getting teams off the field, the passing game not doing a good job, or frankly, the running game 2 out of 3 last 3 weeks has been pretty lousy. Those turnovers have covered those things up. The Steelers, they turned the ball over too, but not enough times to cover up those Giant deficiencies.
You hit it right on the nose, John. I was just going to allude to the fact that the turnover differential has been so key for the Giants' defense. They've been relying on those game-changing type of plays to hide some of the inefficiencies on defense. And the running game, they have struggled against that week in and week out. This is nothing new. This is not a new storyline for the Giants' D. It dates back to DeMarco Murray in week one. It continues through with Alfred Morris against the Redskins.
Trent Richardson with the Browns.
The list goes on and
on. LeSean McCoy with the Eagles.
You name it. A running back has had a field day against the Giants defense. And yesterday it was Isaac Redman.
Yep.
It wasn't Jonathan Dwyer who was hurt. It wasn't Rashard Mendenhall. It was their second or third running back, however you want to break down the Steelers' depth chart with respect to their running game. They beat out the Giants at the line of scrimmage. This was a physical team coming in, and they out-physicaled, even if that's not a word, New York Giants.
They did, no question about it. And I have other things I want to talk about, too, but let's get to the calls. All the lines are jammed, and it looks like Tyler in Long Island has been waiting the longest. Tyler, good morning. Welcome to Big Blue Kickoff Live on Giants.com.
Good morning. It seems like once they get in the green zone, they're trying to run and establish the run, and that's really not their strength right now. And they're trying to establish, I don't know if they're trying to establish for a playoff run that they need to run, but Eli's definitely out of rhythm. Seems like since Bradshaw had the little argument on the field with Coughlin wanting the ball more, they're trying to establish the run, and Eli is definitely not in rhythm.
Hey, Tyler, I think you're right, and I think one great point you make is the Giants in the red zone. That's certainly been a weakness this year. They have not done a good job in the red zone. They've settled for way too many field goals, and if you're not going to get teams off the field more on defense, that's going to cost you.
But Lawrence Tynes has been superb.
Great.
If he struggled, you can imagine how bad the red zone numbers would look.
Right.
Lawrence Tynes at least has been consistent so that when they've had to turn to him, he's come through. But, you know, I want to get back to this red zone issue in terms of the Giants relying too much on the run. Mm-hmm. The perfect example that you could point to in yesterday's game was in the second half when it was 17-10. The Giants eventually settled for a field goal to make it 20-10. They took over this possession, first and 10 for the Pittsburgh 33. They get all the way first and goal at the Pittsburgh 4. You should be able to run the football when you're 4 yards out. Yeah. I don't think that's asking too much of your offense. And then they had it second and goal from the 2. Brown ran left and lost 3 yards. But you should be able to call on whether it be Bradshaw or Brown, have that offensive line move the pile forward and punch it in. I don't think that that's an issue in terms of play calling.
And you can make the argument, too, that Andre Brown didn't get the ball over that end zone line on the one touchdown he did score very close. The replay, I think they made the right call, honestly. I think the replay was inconclusive. Whatever they called on the field should have stood, and I think they made the right call. But they didn't exactly get a huge surge at the line of scrimmage on that run either. Look, you got to be able to get a couple yards on the ground with the power running game, and that's, again, something else the Giants have not been able to do consistently this year. Tyler, thanks for the call. I'm going to try to run through you guys as quickly as possible with these lines being so full. If it's busy when you call in, keep calling. The line will open up. We'll get you on. 201-939-4513. Dominic's in Pennsylvania. Good morning, Dom.
How you guys doing this morning?
Doing well, Dominic. How about yourself?
Yeah, with respect to the offensive line, I would probably assume that the majority of these phone calls, these call-ins, are going to be regarding the offensive line. I kind of had a feeling that, you know, there's been some changes with deals on the line, and, you know, I guess all of us have kind of been a little hesitant at, you know, the changes on the offensive line. And I think that as far as us winning or having a winning streak, we haven't really played like the Giants, you know, how the Giants normally play the game, because the protection is not there. We usually score. On offense, we usually have maybe three or four defining moments, within the game that really gives the offense some momentum. And, you know, the last two or three games, we really haven't seen that momentum because there hasn't been a real good play with Cruz or Nix that would really, you know, kind of give that extra catapult performance. And I think that the offensive line has to be looked at a lot more closely as far as the offensive coach, you know, Gilbright, and, you know, I forget his name, who, you know, the guy who coaches the offensive line. But I think that the protection has to be there. I don't think Eli is comfortable. He's not playing his game. I don't think he's comfortable with the protection. So I'd like to get some feedback from you guys on that.
Well, Well, I think you need to tip your cap to the Steelers' defense, which did a really nice job with their blitz packages and flustering the Giants' offensive line. Remember, those two false start penalties were because the Giants were getting a little bit nervous about the movement that was occurring on the defensive line for the Steelers. So they did mix and match their alignments to throw off the Giants a bit, and I think that was effective. And you're right, pass protection has not been an issue, John, for the Giants the first couple of weeks of the season. The running game has struggled at times. It's been up and down, but we never said, you know what, Eli Manning has not had enough time to throw the football. He's been running for his life. Yesterday, there were glimpses of Manning getting hit and therefore him struggling in hooking up with his receivers as a result.
Yeah, but I don't think, honestly, I know Pete, like the caller said, we're going to get some calls about the offensive line. I think the offensive line has been much better at this point this season than they were at this point last season.
Well, they've been healthier.
No question. And Eli Manning has been sacked fewer times than any quarterback in the league. And I think that's still the number today. I haven't looked at the stats. I know going into that Steeler game, he had been sacked the fewest times of any quarterback. I think only three times all year, to be honest with you. It's an absolutely ridiculous number. And they've done a good job with that. The running game has been inconsistent, but it's been better than it has been the last couple of years. Bradshaw had a couple hundred-yard games. Andre Brown had a hundred-yard game. Even though they weren't dominant, they ran the ball pretty well against Dallas last week. So they've been pretty good. That being said, look, do you always want more? Sure. Do you want to have a better power running game? Sure you do. But also keep in mind, the Giants the last 2 weeks have gone up against two pretty darn good defenses against the run of the Cowboys and Steelers. You have to take that into consideration as well.
Yeah, I mean, everybody's looking at the game film and looking at the stats and saying, what's wrong with the Giants? But you're right. You have to look back at the level of competition that they've played. It's a little bit different than going up against the Cleveland Browns and the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, whose defenses have struggled somewhat throughout the course of this season. They were tested with a very strong secondary that the Cowboys showcased. The Steelers have a very physical secondary, and they're a veteran group, and they can react to different schemes that the Giants threw their way. So I think a lot of it has to be with the adjustments that the defenses are making that they're going up against, and also just the lack of overall execution. Drop passes, Manning not being on the same page, also him tending to force some throws the last couple
and
of weeks.
And down the field. And I think this is something Carl Banks touched on the radio broadcast last night that's very important. And by the way, the Giants will get well on offense. Coming off the bye, they play the Packers, Redskins, and Saints, three teams that all struggle defensively. So Eli Manning's numbers will get back up. They'll run the ball against those three teams because, quite frankly, their defenses kind of stink. So the Giants'
a
offense,
polite way of putting
exactly,
it.
Will get healthy against those three teams. And the Bengals' defense is nothing to write home about either. They can play well this
you
week in Cincinnati as well. Sure you can. But that being said, I think the Giants have a bit fallen in love with getting that big play down the field. And I think at times, rather than taking what the defense will give you, even if it's a 5-6 yard pass to a running back, try to get some run after the catch, they're trying to make too many big plays downfield, even when it's not there. In the past, Lance, how many times have we seen guys like Akeem Nicks run that little 12-yard, 15-yard in-cut and catch the ball by the hash mark, by the numbers? We've seen that so many times. But we're not seeing those intermediate routes as much. Everything's either going deep, deep down the field on a seam route, on a fade route, on a deep post. We're not getting that intermediate pass game that's been so effective the last couple of years.
You know, there was one pass to Heinoski, which I thought they could have utilized a little bit more, dump it off to the running back. Because remember, if you're gaining 3 or 4 yards on first or second down, you're getting into a more manageable third down situation.
Sure you are.
The Giants are 5-for-25 on third down in the last two games. They were 2-for-10 yesterday. That's why you're getting constant three and outs, because you're facing 8 or more yards on third down, whereas your opponent is facing 5 or less. That's been a big disparity. And here's another thing I want to throw out in terms of critiquing the offense, and I'm curious your thoughts. And also, if you want to chime in on the phone lines, we're going to get to more of your calls later on in the show, 201-939-4513. At times, it seems Manning is a bit too reliant on Victor Cruz.
Agreed.
Needs to spread the wealth a little
bit
more.
Akeem Nicks only targeted three times yesterday and one catch.
That's a big issue.
And Akeem Nicks looks healthy. It's not like he's running around there, can't get separation, and limping around. You know, that was the case 3 weeks ago maybe, but he's looked good the last couple of weeks. I agree. He needs to, you know, maybe get Martellus Bennett a few more looks.
Huge
Akeem Nicks
Bennett
especially. Dominic Kixon was so effective the first 4 or 5 weeks of the season. He's been virtually invisible the last few weeks. And now Reuben Randall's taking time away from him, and he can make a big play down the field, but he's still not on the same page running some of these other routes. So maybe you take Randall out. You know, you lose some big play, that's fine. You put Hickson in, he's reliable, you know what he's going to do. Or even a guy like Barden, which I know a lot of fans are a big fan of. You know,
you too as well.
But he at least is good in that short to intermediate range as a possession receiver on those slant routes. And in that way, he is a useful player.
You know what's mind-boggling about the Giants? They're now fully healthy in terms of the receiving core, and they seem to have taken a step back. But
you're right.
When they were substituting for one
That's
another,
a great point.
They never lost any momentum or continuity.
201-939-4513, Lance. Yeah, that's a great point. That's 100% right. Doesn't make any sense, but it's totally right. Steve's up in Connecticut. What's up, Steve?
Hey, what's going on, guys?
How are you, pal?
Yeah, I was just piggybacking off what you guys said. I would like to see a little bit more Dominic Hickson, you know, just to get the offense going, or maybe a screen or two to David Wilson, open up the field.
Yeah.
But I think the defense has been playing pretty well, but, I mean – can't rely on them all game. I mean, they've been getting turnovers and all that good stuff, but if the offense is only settling for 3 points or getting a three and out, that's putting more pressure on the defense. I think they've been playing pretty well, but the offense has been a little shaky. I mean, Cruz can't get separation here and there. Knicks, no separation, dropping passes. I like the fact that they've been using Andre Brown a little more. I like his running style a little bit better than Bradshaw's, but you know, I guess that 1-2 combo is pretty good. But with all that being said, though, aren't we still in a driver's seat? Because the Cowboys
sure.
lost last night. The Eagles should lose tonight. We just got to win this game in Cincinnati. What you think about that, though?
Nah, Steve, you're 100% right. Look, the Giants are in great position right now in terms of the standings in the NFC East and in the NFC. Right now, they're going to have a home game in the playoffs. The Cowboys or the Eagles will both be very hard-pressed to catch them in the standings. The Eagles, obviously, a big game tonight against the Saints. We'll see what happens. Then the Eagles and the Cowboys play each other next week, so that'll knock another team down a notch. Now, the best-case scenario for the Giants, Saints beat the Eagles tonight, then both the Cowboys and the Eagles are sitting with their
3-5,
and they're two and a half games behind the Giants in the standings. So that's the best-case scenario for the Giants. But at the same time, I know the offense was bad. You have to, for a second, take a look at this Giants defense and have a reality check. Because, yes, have they forced a lot of turnovers the last few weeks? No doubt about it. Romo, all those picks, you know about that. The Redskins had some turnovers a week before. I think they turned it over 4 times in that game. The Steelers had 2 turnovers yesterday, 1 turning into a Michael Boley touchdown. All those things are great. That being said, after the first quarter yesterday, the Steelers only punted the ball 2 times. The Giants could not get the Steeler offense off the field. They ran all over them. After the Giants came up big, went up big early against the Cowboys last week, Romo threw for 440 yards. Up and down the field, the Giants' defense only stopped the Cowboys, really, when they stopped themselves, whether it was that Felix Jones fumble or something else. And they had the big stop at the end of the game. You got to give them credit for that. That being said, this Giant defense has struggled getting teams off the field. The Redskins, again, moved the ball all over them 3 weeks ago. They did a good job against the 49ers, no debate there. But this Giant defense, Lance, has not been very good all year long, and that's really been an issue where the defense has not been able to stop people.
You know, it's almost as if the Giants' defense became opportunistic over the last couple of weeks
yep.
because they've been getting so many turnovers, and as we talked about at the beginning of the show, it's been covering up some of the big chunks of yardage, the big plays that they have surrendered. But here's a whole other factor, and I'm disappointed in the two of us that it took almost 20 minutes for us to get to this. Special teams yesterday.
Oh, great point.
Gave no favors to the Giants' defense.
Yep.
Rainey, Emmanuel Sanders, it was 150-yard return after the other. So the favorable field position that the Steelers' offense had backed the Giants' defense up so bad that even if they did make a stop, John, Pittsburgh was already in field goal range.
And this is a refrain that I had last year, about this time in the season, maybe a few games later. But it's not about the Giants' record right now. It's not about where they are in the standings. It's not about any of that. At this point, the Giants should have one focus and one focus alone. That's playing better football. Your execution has to be better. You have to play smarter offensively and defensively. Both those things, you know, you got to play better. Win or loss. Look, they got away with not playing well a couple games these last 3 or 4 weeks, but they still won them because of the turnovers. But that caught up with them this week against Pittsburgh. You have to play better.
Execution, that's the key. And you want more consistency, top to bottom.
Yeah.
I mean, they have not really been able to take one game and then build off the momentum of that into the first quarter even. You know, they've had a good win, and then it takes them a whole half to all of a sudden get back into rhythm. You know, a tale of two halves often is a big theme for the Giants throughout the course of this season. There's been no consistency, or they get the running game working one week, then they rely on the passing game the other week. They rely on turnovers another game. They've got to have some semblance of consistency, whether it be a strong running game, a strong passing game. I'll even throw this out to Giants fans. If you had to define the identity of this team right now, what is it?
You took the words right out of my mouth. I was about to say that exact same thing.
I mean, is this a team that relies on the run? Is it a team that relies on Eli Manning? Is it a team that wins the battle at the line of scrimmage? Is it a team that just is do or die with turnovers? I don't know. I don't have the answer right now.
Is it a big play offense down the field? Yeah, right now the Giants are 25th ranked in defense, Lance, 26th against the run, 26th against the pass, and 19th against the run in terms of yards per game. But if you want to look at a better stat in terms of the rushing defense, they're allowing teams to run for 4.6 yards per carry. That's fifth worst in the league. You can't allow teams to run for more than 4.5 yards per carry in this league. And they're 26th against the pass, 25th overall defensively. So what are you good at defensively? Are you good at rushing the passer? Well, you know what? If you're so good at rushing the passer, and that's going to be your team MO, and that's going to be what you're known for, and that's going to carry your defense, you know what? You're going to have to get – well, you know what? I take that back. I'm gonna have to say, I was waiting for the rankings to load here.
The Cup of Crow is coming out. Is that what's happening?
Giants have 25 sacks. That's third best in the NFL. And I would not think they had that.
Well, they did get to Roethlisberger yesterday.
That's true. But do you feel like this team has been a top three rushing the quarterback team this year?
Not after
from watching the games? I wouldn't have thought that.
Well, there was a huge drought at the beginning of the season. We got tons of calls. Where's OC? Where's Tuck? Where's JPP? Then all of a sudden, they had a couple of games where they were getting 3 to 4 sacks. So I think that's helped to pad the numbers and get them up the rankings.
But you still feel like there hasn't been a consistent pass rush from down to down, where even if you don't get the sack, the quarterback feels rushed. I haven't gotten that sense.
I'm on the same page as you. I don't think that that's the identity of this team, a huge pass rush presence where you can really rely on them getting to the quarterback consistently and winning games at the line of scrimmage.
It needs to be, though. That's how this team won the Super Bowl last year. With their personnel, that's what it has to be.
When OC came back, that was the turning point, and I thought with Canty back, that was the turning point. But let's be honest, since Canty's come back, they haven't got that much better against the run in terms of defending it.
Well, they looked better last week against Dallas. They shut Felix Jones down, but obviously Isaac Redman did a very good job this week.
Also, I think you need to take into consideration how that game played out for the Cowboys. They were down 23-0. They abandoned the run, so that helps pad the numbers a bit.
All right, folks, I know you're hanging out. Me and Lance got on a bit of a non sequitur there, I suppose. Sorry about that. Let's go to Gary in New Jersey. What's up, Gary?
Hello, gentlemen. Thanks for taking my call.
Thanks for calling,
Gary. It's been bothering me with the Giants the last three games, especially. The linebackers. No one's talking about these linebackers. Blackburn, great guy. Loves to hit. But Herzlick couldn't fill the holes. Their linebackers are getting beaten up. Kiwanuka, he's not the linebacker. Put him back on D. I know they're rolling him back and forth. But I really believe in the running. These guys are just killing them with the run every game. There's got to be a problem, and everything's being done in the middle. Short passes, 3-yard pass, guy scores a touchdown. They're lacking in the middle.
I don't think you're wrong about that. I think the linebackers this year have struggled against the run. You're right about Chase Blackburn. Runs downhill, knows the scheme, smart player, but he's still not the best athlete in the world. He's not the fastest guy.
But
he's not going to be able to stop those cutback runs.
Remember the old days with the Carsons, of course, the Taylors? We were known for linebacking. No more. Those days are gone. It seems like they're putting the emphasis on the defensive line, which is great. Brought us championships. But if we only had that three pro linebackers, hit, run, fast. Look at Willis, Willis from San Francisco. We have opportunities to draft some of these guys, but we never do. Get us some linebackers.
Hey, look,
Gary.
Hey, I appreciate the call, Gary. Thanks a lot. And I did enjoy watching LT and Harry Carson when I was a toddler. That was a lot of fun. But look, obviously, Gary, I know where you're coming from. And yes, the Giants used to be a linebacker-oriented team. And I will say this about the linebacker core this year: give Michael Boley a lot of credit. He's been good in coverage. He has those three picks. He had the big play yesterday. He's been pretty good blitzing the quarterback. Where I really think this Giants linebacker corps has been hurt this year a little bit, Lance, is the injury to Jaquan Williams. He's so good at manning up opposing tight ends. I know that goes away from the physicality point that Guy was making, but it's also to do with the middle of the field. He used to be so good at manning up those tight ends and taking them out of the game. Look what he did against Vernon Davis in that game against San Francisco. I believe that was the game he got hurt in, actually, if I'm not mistaken. Or maybe it was the Washington game. I don't quite remember.
No, it was the San Francisco game.
It was the San Francisco game, right? Since then, Paulson did pretty well against them with Washington. We know what Witten did against them last week. And this week against Pittsburgh,
Heath Miller had some big catches over the middle.
So I think that Jaquan Williams' injury has hurt them in terms of coverage at linebacker.
His versatility, it was huge for the Giants in terms of stopping the run and stopping the pass. So that has been a big absence. I'll even throw another name out there, at least a disappointment so far, because once again, the injury bug has haunted him. Keith Rivers. I mean, they were talking about this offseason move, and I'm not ripping the move, and we don't know yet. I mean, because there's a long
round pick,
absolutely,
it's still worth the chance.
It was still a good risk.
No question.
But the biggest problem with respect to Keith Rivers, dating back to his days with the Bengals, he could never stay healthy.
And what's wrong with you or with him?
He can never stay healthy.
Exactly.
We're continuing that trend, ladies and gentlemen.
And it's always something different, a hamstring. What was it, a calf this week, I think, for him? I mean,
but he's a versatile linebacker. That's why I bring that up.
Well,
he's not
on the
necessarily
field,
Jaquan Williams, but he can match up against the run. He can match up against the pass. He can move east to west, not just north to south.
And it's not just the linebackers on the running game, too, which Gary brought up. It's also the linemen. You got to do a better job. You saw the linemen getting blown off the ball yesterday. The defensive tackles weren't doing a good job stopping that run up the middle. And really, the funny thing is, Lance, where the Giants have been hurt in the past have been on really outside runs on those cutbacks, whether it was McCoy, Trent Richardson, DeMarco Murray, Alfred Morris had a lot of those, you know, sweep stretch plays where he, you know, really gashed the Giants. But yesterday, they ran Redmond right up the gut, and the Giants could do nothing to stop him. And that's the tackles, and that's Herzlich.
Every team follows one another. And I think Carl Banks even touched on this, John, on the broadcast yesterday. They're laying out blueprints on how to beat the Giants. That's why you're seeing one team do one thing one week, and then the next team comes in, follows a similar script. They are taking care of business in the middle of the field because they know that's where there is a weakness right now on the Giants' defense. Another element I want to throw into this conversation with respect to the defense, I think the Giants were anticipating, at least, that perhaps Kenny Phillips would have been ready to go, and they possibly could have relied on the three safety alignment, maybe use Roll in the slot. Hosley's had a rough two games, let's be honest.
He hasn't been that bad. I mean, Lance, look, he's covered fairly well. He had a good forced fumble on the end of the round.
He did have a good hustle play on that.
I don't think Hosley's been the problem, to be honest with you. I really don't.
But I feel that they've been beat in certain situations down the field, and Hosley has, more often than not, been the guy in coverage. And listen, he's a rookie. It's a learning curve.
And
you
for a third-round pick, he's been very good this year in his first year as a slot corner.
He has caught on very quickly, and he has taken advantage of his opportunities. But if you have Roll out there and you can experiment, then you're not relying on Hosley. And Hosley has another player that he can watch when he's taking a playoff or two.
How fast was Mike Wallace, by the way, on that play across the middle when he turned that corner? It looked like, Hosley had the angle on him, and then whoop! It was like the Wile E. Coyote trying to chase the Roadrunner.
Went right to left. Everybody was just watching him from behind.
It looked like they were watching him. They were trying to catch him, but Wallace is just that fast. Unbelievable. 201-939-4513. Charlie's in New Jersey. What's up, Chuck?
Hey, I just want to talk about how terrible Eli's looked. I mean, I love Eli.
Sure.
I love him. Great quarterback. But lately, he has gotten too focused on Cruz. He's trying to go deep all the time. He needs to get those extra guys involved. It just doesn't make sense. He's so good when the team has nobody. Everyone's back and healthy, and he just, every play, it's like 20 yards down the field. Knicks, who hasn't been able to catch anything lately?
Yeah, Charlie, I think you're right, and Carl Banks made this point in the post-game show. And he basically said, look, the Giants, what they need to do during this bye week coming up in 2 weeks is to self-scout a little bit. They need to look at themselves and the way they've run their offense. And they really do, I think, need to make some adjustments. You said it. You need to spread the ball out more, and you have to be willing to take what the defense gives you. And if that's a little five-yard dump-off pass to a running back, so be it. If that's a little pass to Martellus Bennett in the flat, so be it. Or even better, a little 15-yard in route by Knicks, that's great. You don't have to make that killer play down the field every time.
And then also, our special teams, you guys touched on it earlier, but yesterday, they were terrible. I mean, every single time a return man got the ball, everyone I was with was just crossing their fingers. I mean, it seemed like that big play was there every time. And we haven't had that on special teams. I think there's one week where David Wilson was pulling off a couple 30-yarders each time.
Yep.
But lately, they've got nothing.
And penalties have hurt them in regard to that, because when Wilson does get a return, it seems they shoot themselves at a foot with a penalty. And appreciate the phone call. You're right. Special teams was of no help to the defense, was no help to the offense at all yesterday. I mean, that was an area that you thought was taking positive steps in the right direction since the start of the season. Basically, as good of a production as it was when Dominic Hixon was running the show a couple of years ago when he was fully healthy, now all of a sudden that's starting to fall back a bit, and that really was a devastating blow to the Giants yesterday.
201-939-4513. Again, folks are trying to get through these callers pretty quick here. A lot of people are on the line. If we do cut you off after you make your point, you can just, you know, turn on your computer and your speakers and you can take a listen to our answer on that. But when you're on hold, obviously, turn your computer speakers down and just listen to the phone. 201-939-4513. Steve's down in Washington, D.C., our good pal. What's up, Steve?
Hey, what's happening, guys? I'll be quick.
No worries.
Listen, I'll start from the top and work my way down.
Sure.
I'm just, like I say every week, I'm really not sure what's going on with Tom Coughlin, but this team goes how Tom Coughlin goes. I think he's lacked up a little bit on the discipline. That's why we're seeing the penalties, not really seeing the emotion I would like to see. I know that's kind of hard. We're speaking about Tom Coughlin, but I'd rather see him be a little bit more stern. I'm really not sure why we decided not to go, throw the ball on that first series, when it was, third and short. We decided to throw the ball when we really need to set the tone with the run. I'm just not sure why we continue to play scared week after week trying to get a knockout blow, disrespecting defenses when we really need to play ball control. Because really, the way I see it, the offense is our best defense. We need to be able to control the clock, not just the ball. We need to give our defense a rest. I can't even really assess our defense when they're on the field all game long, because here we are, three and out every single play because we were not run the ball. We just keep throwing way down the field, and it's making the defense tired. I mean, I'm just wondering when Kevin Gilbride is going to start feeling the game. He has a great plan, but he's just not improvising and going with what the game presents itself. And I just want to know what you guys are thinking in that regard. I mean, I could go on forever, but I won't do that to everybody else. But Ramsey Barden, Hixon. I mean, Randall should not be taking time for Hixon at all. And I'm just wondering, is it because he's a number one pick? Or what is wrong? I mean, clearly we need to be distributing the ball a lot more than what we have been. But it all starts with Tom Coughlin, and that's where it ends. The defense, Chase Blackburn, I mean, say what you want about it. He's smart. He has everybody in place. I really can't, take anything away from him. We definitely need to toughen up in the middle, but Kevin Gilbride is killing us. We got to run the ball. We got to control the clock. Our defense is on the field way too much, and I just want to know what you guys think. Thank you.
Hey, Steve, no problem. Thank you. Appreciate the call. And, look, a couple things. Yes, you're right. You do have to run the football. You need a balance. But in order to run the football, you also have to have some success. You don't just want to keep pounding the ball, getting 1 yard here, 1 yard there. Now, give Kevin Gilbride credit. Last week, even though the Giants weren't ultra-effective running the ball, they only finished with 103 yards on 28 carries, a 3.7 average. That's not a great yards per carry average there, but they did stick with the run. Bradshaw had 22 rushes for 78 yards. They achieved that balance. Now, you can do that when you're getting 3 yards a carry because you're in second and sevens, you're in third and fours and things like that, and it's manageable. But this week, when you're running 15 times with Amon Bradshaw for 48 yards, and you can't get any sort of consistent yardage, you're losing yards half the time, and they did end up rushing it 22 times in this game, and Eli Manning only passed it 24. So that's a pretty decent balance run and pass. You just didn't have a whole lot of offensive plays. You could put the blame on Gilbride if you want, but the bottom line to me, Lance, if you want more runs, get some more yards when you're actually trying to run the football.
Yeah, there was only one good, solid drive where you could point to where they were getting, one run after the other. This is after the Steelers go up 7-0, the pass to Emmanuel Sanders. This is a drive that the Giants started on their own 28. I mean, they had some good runs on this drive. Bradshaw for 5, Bradshaw for 4, Bradshaw for 4, Bradshaw for 4. Then he got back-to-back runs for 3, and then it ultimately led to the Brown 1-yard touchdown. So they had success early in the game, and then after that, it disappeared. I mean, there was no consistency. The pass protection fell apart a bit. even Bradshaw missed some assignments yesterday on pass protection. Was a little bit surprising.
He did, when he's usually very good at that. I noticed that, too. Very good point. I forgot to write that down.
That is his money game, and he missed a couple of linebackers who came in their attempt to try to get to Eli Manning. So that was a disturbing trend.
Well, here we go.
That we haven't seen much of.
First half, Lance, Giants 11 carries, 37 yards on the ground, which is decent. That's about 3.4 yards per carry. In the second half, though, they only ran 11 times for 31 yards, which is obviously under 3 yards per attempt. So they ran the ball worse and worse as the game went along.
The offense wasn't stellar in the first half, but as you just pointed out, it progressively got worse.
Oh, yeah.
From the third quarter on, it was 1-3 and out after another. They couldn't get into a manageable third down.
And not even just that it was they had to go 3 and out and punt. It was the quality of the possessions. I mean, they just looked absolutely inept in the fourth quarter. I'll go through the drives here for you in the second half. The first drive of the second half, 9 plays, 61 yards, turned into a field goal. Good drive. Okay? Good
Some
drive
decent
for
runs
a field
on
goal,
that also.
No question. And then you end with the bad Eli interception on the next drive. Obviously, that is a bad play by Eli. And he could have been picked again in the end zone, by the way, on that Cruz play where they had the late hit called. He threw it right into the chest of the Pittsburgh Steeler player. Not a good thing. In your fourth quarter possessions, the Giants, 3 plays, minus 12 yards. 3 plays, 3 yards.
Now I am.
3 plays, 1 yard. In the last three drives, the Giants had 9 plays for negative 8 yards.
That's unheard of.
Three drives, 9 plays, negative 8 yards. Can't win football games like that, folks. I don't care who your offensive coordinator is. I don't care who your head coach is. As players, 9 plays, negative 8 yards. You're not winning games.
Not when you're going backwards.
Not against the Steelers or a good team like them.
If I tell you how many calls I got yesterday on the postgame show that said everyone felt like they were watching the Jets offense in the second half. That was the line of the day. I'll leave it at that.
201-939-4513. Oh, boy. Let's see how Len in Columbia, Maryland's breaking down the game tape here. What's up, Len?
Hey, how you doing, guys?
Doing well, Len. How about yourself?
Well, not so good. I'm riding down the New Jersey Turnpike. Very disappointing afternoon and evening last night in New Jersey. More than the loss, the Steelers were clearly the better team yesterday. I mean, they beat us in all three phases of the game.
True.
It was just we just didn't look like we were ready for that game. And the Steelers looked like they were, they really had us figured out. I don't know if we caught a pass with any space between our receiver and the Steelers defensive back. In the meantime, the Steelers seemed to be running in space in that zone defense. From an offensive standpoint, I think we need to start looking at some of the back pages of that playbook. And I think that's particularly true on the playbook portion that deals with the red zone. What's wrong with sending a running back in motion? What's wrong with 4 wide receivers inside the 20-yard line? I mean, spread the field out a little. Let's get a little room. On the defensive side, all of a sudden we're playing this, or we seem to be imitating this wide 9 defense of the Eagles. Geez, we're getting shredded. And, our linebackers, we're injured. We got some people beat up. We're playing second stringers. Yeah, the old story, if the second stringer, and I guess I'm talking about middle linebacker here, the Herzog story is a great story. And, the kid's working hard, but, if the second guy was better than the first guy, the second guy would have been playing all season. We're just a little off track. But indeed disappointing, and the coach sounded very disappointing after the game. And, what can I say? I can't wait to get home and stop breaking down the Bengals game. Okay, guys. Hey, thanks for having me on. I appreciate it.
All right, Len, I appreciate it. We've heard some comments about Kevin Gilbride. I understand that the offense has been poor the last few weeks. I get that. But here's the funny thing. What did the caller before say? We got to run the ball more. We got to get more running game. What did Len just say? We got to spread the field with four wide receivers and throw the ball more inside the 20. So I don't think it's necessarily an issue with the play calling, run-pass balance. I'm sure these are the same plays that Kevin Gobright has called in the past. Eli just has to, I think, go to different options on those pass plays, not always try to make the big play down the field.
That's it. It's as simple as that. He needs to spread the football. Instead of going down the field to Cruz, dump it off. Take what the defense gives you. There's nothing wrong with picking up 3 to 4 yards by tossing it to your fullback. Here's another player that I think was missing from the equation. I'm not saying a huge offensive weapon, but Bear Pasco was a player that also Manning would sometimes rely on. He wasn't in the mix yesterday. There were numerous guys on defense and offense
though, in fairness.
That they did not have out there that perhaps Manning would rely on in certain situations. But the one disturbing factor on offense is you have a big guy like Martellus Bennett, who is so productive the first three games. And I know he had the hyperextended knee, and that impacted his level of play.
And he's fine, though.
The last few weeks he's been fine, John. Yet they can't seem to find a way to get him the football, even in the red zone. That's the perfect guy you want to turn to in the red zone.
And I'll tell you what, Martellus Bennett could have had a big play on that one pass that he did catch, and he kind of bobbled a little bit, tripped over his own feet.
He pulled an Eric Decker, who killed me in a fantasy game on Monday Night Football against the Chargers, who was wide open, fell down, and I lost the game. I only bring that up as a side note anyway.
Alan down in Washington, D.C., on more important matters than Lance's fantasy failures. What's up, Alan?
What's going on, guys? All good things must come to an end. My birthday's finally over. had a good run. I had a good run with the Redskins and the Dallas fans. And this game was, you know, was, as much as you could win a game with balance, we lost this team. We lost this game on all phases. Just like Len said, you know, it looked bad. Like the returns that they got were giving them great field position. To make it worse, like we did a pretty good job on the receivers until you know that. You know, that Wallace catch and score. But we couldn't stop the run. Our defense played well for the receivers, but did horrible job against the run. Our special teams was not there, and we couldn't get anything going offensively. So, I mean, on all phases we lost. But the good news out of all this is, you know, we're still in first place. The Redskins lost, the Dallas lost, and, you know, we still got Philly tonight. So, you know, we just got to play better. I mean, on all phases, you know, and I believe we will. We'll turn this around.
I appreciate it,
guys.
Hey, I'm with you, Alan. I think the team can turn this around. And again, I think one of the reasons the offense has struggled, and you take a look at this a little bit, are the quality of the defenses that they've played. Granted, Washington wasn't great. The Giants put up enough yards against them, though, to win that game. But the last 2 weeks, they've played two of the best defenses in football in the Cowboys and the Steelers. And look, sometimes you're going to struggle against teams like that. It happens. You're not going to put up 400 to 500 yards of offense against two of the better defenses in football. So I think that's part of the issue, but offensive rhythm and the other things we're talking about certainly is a part of it too.
But they did have success against a very tough defense in the San Francisco 49ers, to play devil's advocate
here.
That's true. But you're right. I mean, you have to take into consideration the opponent, but only so much. I mean, you can't use that as the main excuse as to why the Giants' offense can't click. And the last caller also emphasized special teams, and that to me was another big disturbing aspect of yesterday's performance. And I was just notating the starting field position for the Steelers. You know, just to run you through, the average field position was right around midfield. The Pittsburgh 42, the Pittsburgh 48, the Pittsburgh 31, the Pittsburgh 41, the Giants 35, the Giants 12, the Pittsburgh 49.
Yeah, you're right.
I threw out about 8 or 9 different drives. The others obviously were long situations for the Steelers, but there were only about 4. Average field position, the Pittsburgh 38. That tells the whole story. I mean, that's a gift to the Pittsburgh Steelers, and it puts your defense in a very precarious situation.
You're right, and that's really an issue that hasn't been prevalent so far this year. The Giants, for the most part, have won the special teams battles in this game, whether it's Tynes kicking his field goals, Weatherford doing a good job punting the football. Their kick and their punt coverage has been excellent up until this game, and David Wilson's been a very good kickoff returner. So that's something the Giants have been great at so far this year, but you're right, hurt him in that Steelers game. 201-939-4513. John in Allentown, Pennsylvania. What's up, Johnny?
Hey, what's going on, guys?
Nothing much, man.
I just want to give this message to every Giant fan, all them Fairweather fans out there that's crying right now. Stop the crying, man. If y'all forgot, y'all might have forgot that Sandy, you know, the hurricane or whatever you want to call it, tropical storm, you know, it kind of messed us up. So we didn't have one of the greatest practice weeks that we usually have. On top of that, to be down 20 to 24, playing one of the greatest defense in football, you know, that's a tough team to play. And without the preparation, you know, the proper preparation, the full week preparation, you know, the videos, the scouting, you know, it was a hard game. So we looked bad, but we didn't look that bad compared to the situation at hand. Everybody need to stop crying. Understand that it's the AFC team that we lost to. If Eagles lose, Dallas lost, Washington loses, this loss really doesn't bother us. So stop crying. Everybody just get on there like this. Giants have another week next week with a full week of practice. I'm quite sure you'll see a better Giants team. Our kickoff return looked sloppy. Our offense started to look sloppy. Our defense looked a little bit sloppy. It happens, you know. Like, everybody was good and happy when we won the four games, but now that we lose, everybody wants to start crying. Kevin Gilbride is not the reason for this loss. It just happens, you know.
Now, John, you're right. Look, the Giants are playing opponents, and sometimes opponents are going to outplay you. And in a league like this where the talent is so close from team to team, the Giants won a couple games by the skin of their teeth, whether it was the Redskin game or the Cowboy game. And Lance and I have talked about this the last few weeks. You've pointed out the warts here or there, despite the fact they're able to squeak out some of these wins. And the chickens came home to roost in this game against the Steelers. You know, you didn't do those things well once again against Pittsburgh. They didn't make the same number of mistakes the Redskins made, the Cowboys made. And look, you can have games where you don't play well. The NFL is a tough league. The Giants were 6-2. 6-3 in the NFC East, a game away from your bye week, is nothing to be ashamed of. You're right.
Not at all. And you know, on top of that, I feel like, you know, if we go into this game, this Cincinnati game, like I said, with a full week of preparation, we're going to win this game. So, therefore, we're going into our bye 7-3. And, you know, it's not time to jump ship and start, you know, asking for head coaches or offensive coaches' heads. It's not that time yet, you know. We lost, just stop and be a man.
All right, Johnny, appreciate the call, man.
That puts things in perspective. At the end of the day, the Giants are still in first place in the NFC East. I don't think they could have asked to be in a better position.
No.
It's just this is sort of a wake-up call in the sense that there have been some troubling trends that
yes.
have been showcased the last couple of games, and you want to put an end to it as you enter the bye so that you're ready for the stretch run.
And I will say this, too. He brought up, of course, the hurricane. It affected the week of preparation. Look, the team and head coach Tom Coughlin were both very careful yesterday not to use that as an excuse for why the team didn't come out and why they didn't play well. In fact, everyone to a player and coach seemed to make the point that that gave them even more motivation to come out and play their best football to try to give the people in the tri-state area suffering so badly from Hurricane Sandy something to enjoy when the last week has been so tough. So we're not going to use that as an excuse here because the team doesn't want us to use it as an excuse, and they're not using it as an excuse.
But you have to take into consideration football players are human,
That's
just like everybody else.
100%.
And if there's distractions off the field, sometimes it affects your work. Take John Schmoke, for example. They don't have the right smoothie in the kitchen. He gets cranky in the morning, and it's hard to work with him here on Big Blue Kickoff. It has that type of effect on the workforce. Not going to lie. I'm not going to make excuses for that.
All joking aside, clearly the stuff with the hurricane, very, very serious. And, yeah, you're right. You know, some of the teams, you know, Martellus Bennett still doesn't have power, you know.
And everybody was rooming with one another, the families.
You know, and that's the thing. The players could deal with it, but then if you have children, you have a wife, you got to make sure they're taken care of. And that's more important than anything that's going to happen on the football field. And I'm sure these players were worried about those sorts of things at points this week. Look, once you get on the field, they'll tell you they try to, you know, block all that stuff out and just play football. But like you said, Lance, these guys are human. And think about it, folks. If you're going to work so one day and it's something as minor as really bad traffic on 78 or really bad traffic on 95 or 80 and you're trying to get to work, and instead of it taking you the 45 minutes that it should take you to get to the office, you're in the car for 2 hours. You want to kill somebody when you get to the office and you're in a bad, cranky mood all day long. You're not productive. You don't do your best, etc. And that's a minor blip on the radar screen. We're talking about something that fundamentally alters people's lives. Property damage. People lose their homes. No power. Having to live in a hotel. Having to take care of your family. Rooming with somebody else. Not having power. These are fundamental things that you take for granted. They're so important to your everyday life. And people have been dealing without having those things this week. Guys like Matthias Kiwanuka and Eli, they live in Hoboken. We know about the power issues they've had there. Martellus Bennett hasn't had power. Steve Weatherford didn't have power for much of the week. He was housing with the Tynes's. So
special, you know, teams sticks together.
Yeah, they do, no question. And so those things can affect you. These players are human, and to the extent that affected the Giants this week, I don't know. But what Lance and I are trying to make the point of during this show is that what happened this week in the loss, you could almost see coming based on the issues the team has had in the past two or three games.
And not necessarily the off-the-field issues. And
exactly.
Also, take this into consideration, the Steelers flew in the day of the game, and they're not using that as an excuse if perhaps they got off to a slow
start.
Great point. I mean, they were in a very tough predicament, too.
201-939-4513. Back to our phone calls. Paul's in New York. What's up, Paul?
Well, I just wanted to start off by saying, to piggyback off the last caller, that everybody needs to just relax. You know, this is one game that we lost. That's okay. We're still 6-3. We're in the driver's seat in the division. The Eagles are going to lose. I have a funny feeling about that. The Redskins lost and the Cowboys lost. We lost to a very tough opponent.
Yep.
And that's acceptable at the end of the day, you know. I just wanted to say, when's the last time we had a punt return for a touchdown?
Oh, boy. I'm going to have to break out the historical records, I think, to try to find that one.
You may have been a toddler again.
Yeah. I'm trying to think. Last time the Giants returned the punt for a touchdown.
No. I'm saying against us. When's the last time one was returned against us?
It was Hickson, right? It was Hickson against Dallas, 2009, I think it was. Yeah. Oh, well, last time we allowed a punt return go back for a touchdown?
Yeah.
DeSean Jackson. Yeah, the Eagles
game. Des Bryant had a punt return for a touchdown, too, against us not too long ago.
Where
he reversed field.
Yeah.
But I think it was the DeSean Jackson
one,
right? DeSean Jackson. Yeah, I'm pretty sure it was DeSean Jackson against Philly. We played seven games this year, 16 last year, probably about 22, 23 games ago, something like that.
And Emmanuel Sanders was close yesterday.
Yeah. But either way to look at it, we haven't allowed one to get returned since then. So that's one positive to look at. There are a lot of positive nuances that we can look at overall about the Giants than just the negatives. There's no extra interior pressure next to Chris Canty to bring that extra pressure. But since he's come back, we have seen the pressure get to opposing quarterbacks, and that's what's allowing the outside rushers to then come in and do what they do. We haven't seen that in the first couple of weeks. Take, for example, that Dallas game. I've never seen Romo look so scared in my life. He looked like a baby. He closed his eyes when Canty came in front of him, and he threw the ball blindly. Like, that's a good positive thing.
He did throw for over 400 yards, though. I mean,
that's to be expected. This is the NFL. Nobody's a slouch, you know? So that's going to happen. But at the end of the day, we're still in all these games, and not to take too much time from everybody else, I just think that we just need to keep faith and be all in.
Well, no, I hear you. Look, there is absolutely no reason to panic. You're 100% about that. But that being said, that doesn't mean, and thank you very much for the call, Paul. We appreciate it, that there aren't a lot of things Giant fans have every right to be upset about, because as a caller pointed out earlier, I believe that was Steve down in D.C., is their Giants really did get outplayed in all three facets of the game. And I think that's what's so frustrating. You really couldn't take – I mean, geez. If you were to take – let's play a game. Lance, if you were to take one positive out of this game yesterday against Pittsburgh, what would that positive be?
Wow. I have to dig real deep for this one.
Start digging, buddy.
I would say pressure.
I agree.
That's what I'm piggybacking off of the last caller, because Canty's arrival, and Tuck had two of them, and OC had one, so three between the two of them.
And JPP had one as well. Yeah. So you have three big pass rushers at four.
That
sacks
would probably be at the top of the list.
201-939-4513. Let's go to Charles down in Alabama, who escaped with the skin of his teeth by beating LSU over the weekend. What's up, Charles?
Well, that's true. They're a little nervous down here this morning. So a tough game for them yesterday, or on Saturday, but still a big win, an easy schedule, and clearly they should run the table. But I did take one positive out of yesterday's game.
Yes.
That the loss didn't come at the hands of the Kansas City Chiefs or the Jacksonville Jaguars. We know the Giants, and you've been a Giant fan, you know they're going to have this one or two games a year when they have a complete meltdown. They're just completely ineffective. And I'll tell you another thing, too. One trend, whether it's good or bad, this team goes the way Eli goes, like it or not.
Yep.
If he's on, they seem to do very well and win.
Yeah.
And when he's pedestrian, the way he looked yesterday, they just seem to just fall apart.
Can't argue with that. You're 100% right. When Eli is on the money, the Giants' offense seems to click, or they're able to at least overcome some big deficits. And when he doesn't have any consistency or any rhythm with his receivers, the running game struggles as a result, and clearly the defense struggles because the offense is not putting together any sustainable drives to stay on the field. So Manning is the heart and soul of this offense. That's the big storyline.
Yeah, he is. No, but that's no surprise.
Of course.
He's been for a couple years, and that's the way it goes. Want to bring our one other quick point here that someone else brought up a bit earlier in the show. This game next week against the Bengals, and I think this goes to the point that Charles is making down in Alabama, and it's a good one. The Giants do have that one game usually against a bad team where they kind of don't show up. You know, yet against the Dolphins last year, the game against the Seahawks last year, same deal. That game, I thought, could be the game next week at Cincinnati. Where you're heading into the bye, you're sitting pretty with a nice cushion in first place, you come in, it reminds me of that Cleveland game on Monday night back in 2008, where you don't maybe play your best game because Cincinnati's not one of those top teams. But, considering they got so outplayed yesterday, to me, this game against Cleveland next week isn't quite as dangerous because you figure the team's going to want to come back, play their A game, to have a good feeling heading into the bye.
I think the philosophy, you're right, changes. If they're coming off a solid performance where they win perhaps a letdown game
right.
against the Bengals, but there's plenty of motivation to right the ship heading into the bye. You do not want two bad losses to linger over the next 2 weeks, knowing how tough the schedule gets against NFC opponents after.
Right, and then let's say theoretically you're sitting there at 6-4. If the Eagles win their next two games, you know they're at 6-5. It's only a half game difference. Or even the Cowboys, they're sitting there at 4-5. That's only a one game out. All of a sudden, you know, things don't look quite as secure.
I'm also surprised that we haven't gotten a call yet. You know, it's the time of the year. They finished the first 8 games. The second half is starting. Normally, everybody says, oh, here we go again. The Giants following a similar script. They were 6-2 last year when they went on that 4-game skid. And I'm not saying it's going to happen again, but if you go back to the history books, the Giants have not been the best second half team.
It's funny, though. Last year, yeah, second half, that's correct. But last year wasn't the end of the season that got them like it has been in years past. They had that bad stretch in the middle of the season. Then they righted the ship their last couple games and they ended up, you know,
but it was a close call, though. I mean, they righted the ship at the right time.
This Giant team, unfortunately, doesn't really like to do anything that consistently. They're always up and down. They got to make fans nervous. They got to, you know, have wins and losses here and struggle at times. So, yeah, that tends to happen. 201-939-4513. Ah, a good pal, Ed's down in Maryland. What's up, Ed?
Hey, what's up, guys? I was going to say the same thing like the last three callers said. We play the Steelers, and that's a tough team. And going into this game, I was always thinking, what if we lost this game and then came back next week to beat the Bengals? That made more sense logically. I know every Giants fan wants to think every game we're going to win, but just playing the Steelers defense, they're always tough. They did like a lot of things and coverages to throw us off balance. And another thing I was going to say is about Eli. He really didn't have a bad game. Guys just weren't getting open. You know, like, it wasn't really one drive where I seen him make a bad throw or miss somebody wide open. Guys just weren't open, you know. And I always go back to the same thing with Eli. He's clutching everything. Two-minute drills, he's a beast. But against teams that have stout team overall defense, if we go two-minute drill, no huddle, and just keep the ball moving in the air, I think we have a better shot to actually score some points. But just going back to the base office, trying to do the play action, you know, slowing the game down, that gives the Steelers defense time to throw different looks and coverages and things of that nature. So I always think Eli's clutch and he's 2 minutes real for a reason. If we start to see that was getting stagnant on offense, if we go 2 minutes real, that'll help out the offense, you know.
Yeah, I hear you, but Eli hasn't been that effective in the 2 minute drill the last couple of weeks against the Cowboys and against the Pittsburgh Steelers. And I think, I don't disagree with the fact that if you can't run the ball, put the ball in Eli Manning's hand, let him make a play, let him win the game. I think that's a fine strategy. I have no problem with that personally. That being said, Ed, I think what we talked about earlier is also important. You got to spread the ball around a little bit more. You're going to Victor Cruz way too much. You're trying to get down the field and make that huge, ginormous play way too much. Take what the defense gives you sometimes. Let's see them run a couple screen passes. Let's see a couple simple slants. When's the last time we saw Akeem Nicks catch a slant? That's a staple play for him. We haven't seen Akeem Nicks catch a slant in 4 weeks.
Everybody's running down the field. Yeah, no, that's a great point. And listen, the best way to sum up the Giants' offense yesterday, Manning throws for 125 yards. I'd appreciate the phone call, Ed. They got 87 yards on two defensive pass interference calls. So about half of their offensive production, more than half, really came thanks to a flag. That's how out of sync the Giants' offense was yesterday.
201?
Keenan Lewis to the rescue.
4513. Let's go to Gerald down in Virginia.
Hey, how you guys doing today?
Doing well, Gerald. How about yourself?
Okay. No, you guys pretty much said what I wanted to say about, hey, let's get ready for the second half. God, I was just thinking that we should be used to it as Giant fans by now. I mean, I don't chew my fingernails down to my fingers, and I do it every year. So you kind of expect this to happen, and you also expect them to right the ship and take care of business. I do believe this team will make the playoffs, but it's going to be difficult with them. One more thing, in the running game, I like to see a little bit more Brown running the ball. You know, I like Bradshaw, but I just don't think he's healthy.
Yep.
I really don't. That's all I have to say. Let's get the other guy in there for a little bit. I mean, not taking anything from Bradshaw, but I think Brown deserves a chance to show what he can really do.
I appreciate it, Gerald, and I wouldn't be surprised as Bradshaw continues on this practice regimen where he's only working once, maybe twice a week. You know, Coach Kampf is not a big fan of guys not practicing. And if he's not practicing, doesn't look good in the game, and Andre Brown continues to look, you know, pretty effective in the time that he has, I think you will start seeing more of Andre Brown, less of Bradshaw, and then maybe finally we'll see a little bit more of David Wilson.
And one of the arguments that we've thrown out so often, John, has been the pass protection issue. But as we brought up earlier on the show, Bradshaw had some issues with pass protection yesterday. You wonder, does that open the door now if Andre Brown could fulfill that role for more opportunities and more snaps?
All right, our final call of the show, folks. You did a great job today. Lance and I have really had to say a whole lot. You guys have done a great job on the phones. We appreciate it. Thank you for listening, especially with everything going on with the hurricane. You guys are diehards. Thank you very much. Gary down in North Carolina. Gary, good morning, pal.
Good morning, man. How are you?
Doing great. What's up?
A little sickened from this loss yesterday against the Steelers. First of all, just to piggyback off all these callers, the special teams, above all, to me, we melted down there. I mean, I hadn't seen a play other than, what, the first drive when we had punted it, we had downed it at the 2-yard line.
Right.
They were constantly running on us, passing the 50-yard line. There was never any type of momentum for us on special teams. What are they going to do?
It was a huge loss that they didn't have any production. You're 100% right. And it put the defense in a very bad spot. Outside of the Pittsburgh 2, the Steelers had one drive that started at the Pittsburgh 6. Everything else was from the 25-yard line and up.
Average for starting field position for the Steelers, the 38-yard line. Hard to win games when that happens.
Yeah, I agree. And like I said, we need to come up with something now as far as a full week of practice and get ourselves back together to go against Cincinnati, which everyone wants to say is a gimme game. But, you know, we need to bounce back here and get Eli Manning the ball like you were stating earlier and try to make some plays because that offense is starting to struggle as well. It's 2 weeks in a row, especially against Dallas and now against Pittsburgh.
All right, appreciate the call, Gary. And I don't think people will say that Eli was particularly sharp against the Redskins either, despite his 300 yards throwing the ball. I don't think he was great against Washington. Second half against San Francisco, the Giants' offense didn't exactly light it up either. So they've had a lot of issues these last few weeks, and they've got to figure it out what they're going to do. I think next week against the Bengals, you can't really change too much in 1 week. But once you get to the bye, you got to do that self-scout, take a look at what you're doing offensively, and maybe make some adjustments.
Absolutely. I mean, maybe the bye is coming at the right time, Jim.
I think it totally is. There's no question.
Could be a blessing in disguise that they're getting it late in this season compared to last year when it was much earlier.
No question. All right, folks, we're not going to take any more calls today. We got to wrap it up. Thank you for calling. You can call in tomorrow morning. Lance will be with you from 9:30 to 10:30. I'll join him at the end of the show as we move forward, as we start getting ready for the Cincinnati Bengals. I'm sure tomorrow will still be filled with a lot of Giant Steeler calls.
I can only imagine.
Is my bet. Now, before we say goodbye, I want to touch on Twitter, hashtag Giants Chat. We haven't really had much of a chance to look at it with all the phone calls, but got to get to our guy, Marcus Erickson. We haven't heard from him in a while, Marcus, who's by
very
far our
today.
Funniest tweeter. He does an excellent job keeping us entertained. And here's a good one from him. This is informative. This is not necessarily humorous. Definitely not humorous for Giant fans. Last touchdown for offense was the 31-yard drive in the first quarter against Dallas. And the last long TD drive was an 80-yard drive in the first and second quarter versus the Redskins. So that's a long time. Not counting the TD the Steelers were handed by the officials. Of course, that's on the pass interference penalty, or the one-play drive in the fourth quarter against the Washington Redskins. So there you have it. That kind of sums up how the Giants have been a bit inept offensively here.
And it's another example that the Giants have not won because of their offense in recent weeks. It's mainly been because of all the turnovers that they've piled up on defense, or perhaps a play or two from special teams, which is hard to believe given the performance that we saw yesterday.
Seven with a T, who's one of our loyal tweeters, sends in, new motto for the Giants fans, stop crying. Hashtag stop crying, excuse me. Thought that was kind of funny. And then Saraceno wants to know, is Blackburn going to be ready next week? He actually moved around pretty well on the practice field towards the end of the week. My guess is that he'll be ready, though the Giants have been more conservative, I think, with injuries this year, a la Kenny Phillips. A lot of people thought he was going to play in this game. He couldn't go. Though I think part of that is one of those, you kind of don't want to take Stevie Brown off the field. He has 7 takeaways this year. Why mess with a good thing?
But I still think there's more of a need now for the 3 safety alignment. And here's another thing to consider. Even though they lost to the Steelers, do they say to themselves, we've got one game, then the bye. Is it better to have Kenny Phillips take an additional week to rest? Don't rush him back in case he re-aggravates it, and then you have the bye.
Good question. All right, we'll find out what happens. We'll monitor all those injuries this week. Got to touch on our picks very, very quickly before
we
say goodbye.
To?
Boy, neither one of us had a stellar week this week, Mr. Meadow. I went 1-3. You were 0-4.
Really? Wow. I'm not surprised. I took too
Redskins
many risks
lost,
and they backfired on me.
Redskins loss, Cowboys loss, Bills over the Texans, upset special loss, and then you picked the Dolphins over the Colts, also a loss. I was with you on the Skins winning and the Cowboys winning, lost those two games.
You picked the Titans over the Bears, didn't you?
That didn't work out too well. That was the next game. That was my upset special. Whoops.
It was 28-2 after one quarter.
Yeah, whenever a team gets 50 points dropped on them, probably not a good pick. And the one game I did when I had the Seahawks beating the Vikings, it ended up being a pretty close game out there in Seattle. They won 30-20 in that game.
Vikings ran good on the Seahawks, and the Seahawks have been very good against the run.
I was surprised to see that. Adrian Peterson, 170 yards on the ground, did a good job. Russell Wilson, 3 touchdown passes in that game. And Marshawn Lynch went for 100 on a very tough Vikings run defense as well.
And speaking of rookie quarterbacks, it seems to be a trend. Andrew Luck, a big game. Yep. Russell Wilson. These rookie quarterbacks, maybe it's just me, but I feel as if they're coming along much faster than expected this season.
I agree. And both of us have the Saints to beat Philadelphia tonight. I'm really tempted about changing that pick to the Eagles.
With the way that we've been making selections, it wouldn't surprise me if the Eagles win.
Would you allow me to switch that pick to the Eagles?
Oh, boy. Wow. I don't know if I'm going to be that nice this morning.
Okay, that's fine. I'll stick with the Saints.
I mean, you're really... Though, I should let you so that you could get it wrong anyway.
Logically, I think the Saints should win this game, but sometimes the Eagles are real desperate. They might end up trying to pull out a win tonight.
Well, I think there's a lot of questions regarding the Eagles' defense. That's why I'm picking the Saints. The Falcons, remember, made mashed potatoes out of that Eagles defense. Matt Ryan had a field day, 3
mashed
touchdowns.
Potatoes.
He did, and that Eagles defense is no joke. They've got playmakers. The Giants know that.
But now, the most important factor here that I haven't mentioned yet is that me picking up a game on Lance Meadow has rocketed me into first place in the pick standings at a stellar 21-25, a pick record that anybody should be proud of. Lance now at 20-25, one half game back.
Big Blue Kickoff would never be the same if we didn't have the segment where John Schmoke pats himself on the back. And we haven't even gotten into the fantasy part. I know the totals haven't been tallied yet, but according to his pregame routine and his pre-show routine, I should say, John is already thinking that he's locked up this week. He's very excited about the potential.
Whenever you start Doug Martin and he rushes for 250 and 4 touchdowns, you're probably going to be in pretty good shape. Not to mention Arian Foster, 100 yards and a touchdown. Tony Romo, 300 yards and a touchdown. And I have 3 players pending tonight. So I already have about 70 points in the bag. And tonight I have Marcus Colston, I have Jeremy Maclin, and I have Brent Celek. So I already hold the single week record here with 109 points.
Oh, so you're shattering the record book
also. I have every intention of shattering my previous record and cementing my first place lead in the season-long fantasy challenge.
Oh, man, I can't take much of this the rest of the season. My team did fairly good, too, so let's not overlook me. I mean, while we're in the mood of patting each other on the back, Eric Decker, Brandon Marshall, 5 touchdowns total.
Pretty good.
Reggie Bush and Josh Freeman for a buck turned out to be a nice little pick there to get a good return on.
You're next to last, though?
No, I think I'm third to
last. Oh, third to last. Congratulations.
That's what I say. Give me the benefit of the doubt here. All right. I'm moving up little by little.
All right, folks. Thanks for joining us today on Big Blue Kickoff Live. Comes your way every weekday morning this week from 9:30 to 10:30 right here on Giants.com. Lance will be with you tomorrow. Paul and Anita Wednesday and Thursday. Lance and I back on Friday to preview Giants and the Bungles. Of course, everything else on Giants.com this week. Make sure you check it out. Preview Giants and Bengals. Coach's presser at 11 o'clock on Wednesday. MSG has that press conference as well. Join Paul Dottino and Roman Oman immediately following it until 11:30 to break down what Coach Coughlin talked about and to preview the game. Upcoming Giants Rewind at MSG. Chronicles next Saturday, Sunday. Opening Drive Live. All that good stuff. Make sure you check it out and go to Giants.com all week long as well. Thanks for joining us for Lance Meadow. I am John Schmelk. It's all brought to you by Andrew Mark. We'll see you tomorrow morning, 9:30, right here on Giants.com.
Have a good one.